You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
The best and the brightest.
Opportunity is the next idea.
We're going to find that these social and cultural factors really add a lot to economic growth.
Take funding from the Affordable Care Act. Add a $70 million state innovation model grant that was given to the State Department of Health and Human Services. And with that, you're about to see an ambitious new project that could change healthcare delivery in Michigan. It's called Michigan's Blueprint for Health Innovation. Our latest contributor to The Next Idea is the co-chair of this effort in Washtenaw and Livingston counties, one of five community innovation regions where this three-year project will be launching come January. Dr. Paul Valenstein, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
What is this project really aiming to prove?
Well, we're trying to see if we can deliver care better for patients that seem to have both social needs and medical needs.
Just do a better job.
Do a better job by connecting social agencies with the healthcare system and by motivating people in the community to understand better when to use healthcare resources and when to use social service agencies.
Okay. Yeah, this is ambitious. So give us a sense then, if we're talking about better linking the healthcare system to social service organizations, what would this look like? I mean, what kind of organizations are we talking about here?
Well, let's first start with a problem. And we're focusing first on patients who go to the emergency department, the emergency room, frequently. So we have about 550,000 people in Washtenaw and Livingston counties. And the University of Michigan tells us there are about 600 people who have shown up in their emergency department five or more times in a year. If you talk to St. Joe's, which runs three emergency departments in these two counties, another 600 people come five or more times in 1 year to the emergency department. So that's an interesting problem because almost nobody is so unlucky as to have five accidents that require them to go to the emergency department in a year. Something's going on. And if you look at the records of these folks, some patterns start to emerge. Some of them have substance abuse problems, more than you'd imagine. Many of them have mental health problems. Some of them are homeless. Some are hungry. Some of them just don't have the money to go see their regular doctor. Some of them don't have a regular doctor. So we're using a very expensive resource, the emergency department, for problems that we really think of as social problems. I didn't fully realize how expensive the emergency room is, but an average visit is going to cost somebody in society about $2,500. If that patient happens to get admitted for a medical reason, then society will end up paying $10,000 to $15,000. This is a very high-priced resource. It wasn't really designed to address social issues or mental health issues.
Homelessness.
So, yeah,
sure,
homelessness.
Sure.
So that's what we're trying to get our arms around and see, is there some better way? Is this really the right way to go about it?
So what kind of system do you envision that will be in place with the launching of this program come January? How might things be different then in Washtenaw and Livingston County?
Well, we're still designing it. You don't get the whole story in this interview. You have to ask us back in a year so we can tell you exactly what we've done. And then you got to have us back in about 3 years mm-hmm. so we can tell you whether it worked. Because one of the requirements of this grant is that we look dispassionately at what we're doing to figure out whether it works. But I can tell you what we're thinking. We're thinking that we need to identify these patients before they hit the emergency department, because once they arrive, it's almost too late. So we're developing some predictive models that will tell us which of our 550,000 residents in Washtenaw and Livingston are highly likely to go to the emergency department multiple times. Obviously, having gone multiple times in the past is an indicator, but there are other hints that we think we can identify that will help us find a population that's worth looking at more closely.
And then get to them.
Then we're going to get to them. We're going to make an assessment because people aren't all the same. People have different issues. And we're going to try to connect them with the agencies that already exist that are better suited to deal with these problems. And we're also going to look at their peer support network because, frankly, what many of us do depends a lot on the attitudes of the peers around us. And so we're going to be asking ourselves, who are they working with? And are there peer coaches that we can link them up with that can give them a better sense of when to use the emergency department and when to use some other kind of resource?
Well, Dr. Valenstein, when you're talking about we, who's we? Who would be doing the looking and the identifying and the connecting?
Well, that's interesting. So this started as an initiative of IHA and the University of Michigan and St. Joe's and the Washington Health Initiative. They got together to apply for this grant, and we're designing it together. But what we're not trying to do is build just one more infrastructure of care managers that sits in some silo and adds to our healthcare costs. So there's a lot we can learn from the internet and some of the new ways of doing business. And we're really trying to create a network of care managers who already exist in our community who can make some of these assessments and review some of these charts. Many of these people are the same people that are going to wind up on their desk anyway after they start using the healthcare system a lot. So if we can find an enriched sample of people that may not be interacting with the healthcare system and social service agencies in the best way, and we can enlist this network of care managers to tithe some of their time in reviewing these cases and getting them hooked up with the right agencies, maybe we can make a difference without creating a big expensive infrastructure.
And then if it does succeed, if this is something that you could say, yes, we have succeeded, is the idea then let's take it and spread it through Michigan?
Sure. So part of this model is a test. And part of the promise is that if the test works, it will be replicated. Mm-hmm. Another part of this conversation is payment reform. We, to some extent, have the healthcare system we pay for. And so in addition to hooking up patients with more appropriate services, we're trying to work with the payer community to pay a little bit more for care that is not utilized and maybe a little less for some types of care that are overutilized. Payment reform is always a difficult conversation, mm-hmm. but that's part of it too. And if we get the payment reform right, it will be easier to sustain this program if it works, because the kind of care that isn't being delivered now will be better funded.
The effort is called Michigan's Blueprint for Health Innovation. It'll be launching in January. Dr. Paul Valenstein is the Washtenaw-Livingston County co-chair. This three-year project will launch in Washtenaw-Livingston counties, Jackson County, Genesee and Muskegon counties, and 20 counties in northern lower Michigan. So it should be a very interesting conversation 3 years hence to see how it has all worked out, Doctor. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to someone from the social service side of this equation. Aubrey Patino is with the FUSE initiative led by Avalon Housing, the FUSE initiative, the Frequent Users Systems Engagement. Welcome.
Thank you.
What is the FUSE initiative?
Yeah, so FUSE is a program that's targeting high utilizers of emergency health systems who are homeless and have chronic health conditions.
So the ones the doctors call the frequent flyers.
Yes, yes. And we provide these individuals with supportive housing, which is essentially affordable, safe, decent housing using what we call a housing-first approach, which treats housing as a basic human right, not a reward for clinical success. And we couple that sort of using housing as a foundation for recovery with pretty robust wraparound supports where we follow people into the community and provide care coordination to them.
So you've been – FUSE has been doing this for a while. So it seems to be it was a very good fit for the Michigan's mm-hmm. Blueprint program.
Yeah. 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 People who are frequently using the emergency room as their source of care are typically costing all of our systems a tremendous amount of money. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, their quality of life is really suffering as a result. And when you compound that with the experience of homelessness, we know that we have to address that social determinant of health, that issue of housing instability, before we can expect that they'll be able to manage their complex medical needs.
Now, I know the program is being assembled and put together, the Michigan's mm-hmm. Blueprint for Health Innovation, and will launch early next year. But can you give us an idea, how will this program working under this umbrella be different from the way things are now?
Yeah. I think that the lesson that we've learned in working with this population is that it takes a specific commitment to serving them, and in order for us to break the cycle. And we don't want to duplicate what resources are already in existence, but we want to better leverage them. So traditionally, folks who are really hitting the EDs a lot.
EDs.
Emergency departments don't necessarily lack involvement of care providers. There are a lot of care providers involved, and the missing piece is really that care coordination piece. And so I think that's sort of the innovation in the state innovation models. How do we move out of the traditional medical model and really bridge that gap between social services and what happens on the medical side?
So in essence, one hand will know what the other hand is doing and can be just a lot more effective.
Yeah, that's the hope.
Aubrey, some people balk at the idea of just giving someone who's homeless some free housing or free services. Can you give us some examples or some numbers that kind of help us understand what it costs to provide these services compared to just leaving people alone?
Yeah, so we know anecdotally that it costs on average about $5,000 roughly per person per year to provide them with supportive housing. And we have participants in our program who cost our health system over $1 million in 1 year. So once the intervention took place, we know that their ED utilization dropped dramatically, for some to none at all, for some just once or twice in a year. So we can make some assumptions about cost avoidance there that we're hoping to really scale up through this intervention.
The challenge, I think, of a program like this, Aubrey, is finding the balance between helping the bottom line, so mm-hmm. dollars and cents, by targeting mm-hmm. these frequent ER users, the ones that are costing the most money in our healthcare dollars, and targeting the people who need the most help. What's the key to finding that balance?
From an ethical standpoint, that it's the right thing to do, but it's also making the business case, right? And that we have to do both things. And we know that that's sort of the innovation of what's happening around how we address complex issues like homelessness and high ED utilization. And so, I mean, I think that's why it's important that there's both a qualitative and quantitative component to how we look at this work, so that we're not just making the business case, which is important, but that we're also looking at how have people's quality of life improved and what does that mean for the various mm-hmm. systems that they're touching, for the communities in which they live.
This demonstration project is using funding from the Affordable Care Act and then this $70 million state innovation model grant. And I know the idea ultimately is to take what you're going to be learning in Washtenaw and Livingston counties and making it kind of taking that information and sharing it with the rest of the state.
Yeah. Yeah. The goal is to scale it up. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's the interesting thing about social innovation is that there are a lot of demonstrations happening. How do we make those demonstrations sustainable? How do we replicate that? And I think that's sort of the hard work, even though it feels like the hard work is getting the program off the ground. Certainly with the FUSE program, that's been our task. We are one of four communities who are demonstrating that we can use supportive housing as a platform for recovery for this population. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other communities are Los Angeles, the state of Connecticut, San Francisco, and us. And so we are all tasked with sustaining the work locally, but also helping to deliver this message so that other communities can replicate what we're doing. And I think that's in part how some of this is coming about throughout the state. And Medicaid expansion has played a really instrumental role in motivating that change process.
So taking what's happened and doing it better and for more people.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Well, it'll be interesting. Busy 3 years. And I know Dr. Valenstein was very clear. Talk to us in 3 years
yeah.
and we'll see what we've really been able to accomplish, and then we can share with the state.
Yeah.
Well, we'll
yeah.
look forward to doing that. Aubrey Patino is with the FUSE initiative led by Avalon Housing. They'll be part of the upcoming 3-year project, Michigan's Blueprint for Health Innovation. Thank you so much for being with us on The Next Idea.
Thank you.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.